If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians is one of the smaller books in the New Testament. You find 1 and 2 Corinthians, they're the big books. Keep going to the right. 5 or 6 little books later, you'll find 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at chapter 2. We begin at verse 7. This morning I want to share with you a portrait of fatherhood. This is not probably a very traditional Father's Day text, but I want us to use it this morning because I believe that in it, Paul paints for us a portrait of fatherhood. And as we look at this portrait of fatherhood, for some of us, we will be able to look back on our dads and see him in this portrait, and we will be able to be grateful. For some of us, we will need to look at the portrait and then look in the mirror and see how we live up to that portrait. For others of us, we may look at the portrait and realize that Dad never was that kind of person. And if that is your situation this morning, I want to encourage you to use this as an opportunity to be grateful for a Heavenly Father who is the ultimate Father, and also for an opportunity to understand what fatherhood can look like, so that you then can have influence on those in your lives to help them fulfill that kind of purpose and that kind of role. Let's look at a portrait of fatherhood, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Paul says, "But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." And you just thought John got the wrong passage. That's a Mother's Day sermon. Hang on. Just be patient. Here we go. "Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers." Now listen to verse 11. "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Bottom line is this, that Paul says that in verse 11, he says, we were showing you how to live this life, and we were teaching you important things just like a father does for his children. He summed up this passage by saying, we treated you, the people of the church at Thessalonica, we treated you the same way a good father treats his children. And if that is the summary, then we can look back at the verses we read before that to learn what does it look like for a good father to how a good father might treat his children. What is a portrait of a Christian father? Let me show you very quickly. The first thing that we learn in the text is that a part of this portrait, there are 5 traits that a father needs today, and one of them is able to express genuine love. I'm going to show you 5 traits in this portrait. One is able to express genuine love. Did you see in verse 8? In verse 8, he said, "We have this fond affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." It's almost as if Paul says it's hard even to find the words to express how much, how deeply we really do love you. I think that's an important character trait for fathers, because expressing love doesn't always come naturally for most men. We feel love, we commit to love, but it's not always natural for us to know how to express love. Have you ever wondered why Scripture tells husbands, love your wives, and why it tells wives, respect your husbands? Have you ever noticed that? They're different commands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Why does he tell us that? I think it's because expressing love doesn't come naturally and easily to most men, so he had to tell us to do it. Love your wives. Similarly, he had to remind wives that which doesn't just automatically happen without choosing it, respect your husbands. Not only is that the case, but that also fulfills our greatest need. As I understand it, wives' greatest need is to feel and know, to be assured that they are loved. And so God says, husbands, give them what they need. Love them. And ladies, did you know that men's greatest need, usually, most often, is to feel and experience respect? That's why Scripture says, you want your marriage to work? Wives, show him respect. That's what he needs. And it doesn't come naturally for you and easily, usually, so learn to do that. He says to men, to love your wives. In that same context here, we understand that it doesn't just naturally happen, usually for most of us, that we can express it. And yet, a characteristic of a Christian father, a part of the portrait, is the ability to express genuine love. I remember when we first brought Ashley home, Lisa seemed to know what to do. She knew that Ashley's head was going to be bigger than her neck was ready to handle. You know, the newborn baby, that head thing got to go. And so Lisa knew that you hold that neck. When you hold the baby, you got to hold that neck, right? Because that head's going to be flopping. I didn't know that. Lisa just somehow knew that you got to hold that neck firm. And I don't know about all babies, but when Ashley came home, she had a hole in the top of her head. You know that soft spot when babies are born? Somehow mamas know that you don't punch that soft spot. Daddies don't always know that kind of thing. Hey, there's a soft spot up here. Hey, this is kind of cool. You see, it just doesn't naturally happen for most guys. We have to learn how to express love to our kids. And the thing is, once I finally figured out that you got to hold her head in just the right way so that neck doesn't flop and you're not supposed to play with that soft spot on top, once I figured all that out, then I had to learn how to change a diaper. That's an expression of love, guys. It's how you love your baby. Somehow mamas know this cry means the baby's hungry. That cry means the baby needs a diaper change. All I hear is crying. We have to learn this stuff to figure out when the baby needs food, figure out when the baby needs a diaper change. We learn these things, and the hard thing is, once I figured all that out and I got to be a good daddy, Ashley growed up on me and she turned into a teenager, and then all the rules were gone. Now you got a whole new set of rules to figure out. How do you express love to a teenager? It's not quite the same way. When I'd go up to her and punch on the top of her head, it didn't quite do the same thing it used to. The teenager's got a whole new set of ways that you got to express love. And dads, we got to do the hard work of learning how that happens. A few years ago, the cartoon strip called For Better or For Worse. You ever see that? You like that cartoon strip about family stuff? For Better or For Worse? In that old cartoon strip that showed Dad coming into the room where his teenage daughter was sitting on the couch watching TV. She was eating popcorn. And he decided to sit down next to her and help himself to the popcorn. And as he was sitting there, this little thought balloon appears over his head. And he's thinking, I remember when she was so young, I held her in my arms and I loved her and it was wonderful. Now look at her, she's all grown up, such a beautiful girl. I wonder what she would think if I held her like I used to and told her again that I love her. He finally concludes that she would probably be uncomfortable if he did that kind of thing now. And while he's thinking that, they show the little thought balloon above the daughter's head, and she's thinking, I wonder why Daddy never hugs me anymore. You see, it's hard. And because it's hard, we got to do the work. You got to do the communication to figure out what love looks like to your kid. You got to do the work that it takes to genuinely express love. Paul says, that's what we did for you, and that's how we showed you. That's how we loved you like a father loves kids. We showed you genuine love. A second characteristic, and they'll go faster from here, I promise. A second characteristic in this portrait of fatherhood, a transparent life. A transparent life. Again, verse 8, he said, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives. If you're a Christian dad, your kids ought to know it by the way you live. Not because you come to church every Sunday, but they ought to know you're a Christian dad by the way you live. You see, being a Christian will affect the decisions you make every day, on the job and in the home. The decisions you make are changed. The values in your home will be different than those found in the worldly homes around you. A Christian home, we learn that the things we can't see, the things we can't buy, the things we can't hold on to are really usually the most precious. How we deal with stress and finances and what kind of humor we use all speaks to our children about whether we are real or not. Ray Ortland Jr. is now a very well-known pastor. Amazingly enough, his dad was even better known than he is. He was well-respected, popular person in the ministry circles. And Ray Ortland Jr. recently wrote this: in public, my dad was one of the great pastors of his generation. He served most notably for 20 fruitful years at Lake Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena, where John Piper worshiped during his Fuller Seminary days. Dad and John were dear friends. In private, my dad was the same man. There was only one Ray Ortland Sr., an authentic Christian man. God. When I read that, I was surprised because I thought, you know, coming from a PK here, you hear all kinds of stories about PKs and the struggles they have. I thought he was going to say, you know, my dad was somebody at church and he was important on Sunday, but then when he came home, he was completely different. And I was shocked when I first read this, and it said, on Sunday, he was this, and when he came home, he was the very same man. I hope that people can say that about me. Christian dads, can your kids say that about you? Is that a part of your portrait? Are you one man, a man of integrity? Or is there a mask that we put on when it's important to be in public and we're somebody completely different at home? A transparent life is a part, is a characteristic that is included in this great portrait of fatherhood. Another characteristic in this portrait is an unselfish diligence. Look at verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor, our hardship, how working hard night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Now, I think we have a responsibility as parents to teach a good work ethic to our kids. He says, because I loved you, I worked hard. That is of incredible importance. that we demonstrate for our kids what hard work looks like, that we give them the opportunity to experience it from time to time. It builds within them the character that they're going to need to become the adults that we hope they will be. We teach that kind of thing in two ways. We teach it by example, and secondly, we teach it by giving them the opportunity to learn it on their own. It's important that we show them an unselfish diligence. I am working to protect you and provide for you because I love you. Another characteristic in this portrait of fatherhood is genuine spirituality. In verse 9, he says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers." He says, look at how we lived, and God is our witness that we lived a real spirituality. We were honest and sincere Christians, not just on Sunday, but all week long. There's a genuine spirituality. Our kids, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews, the neighbors who look up to us, need to see in us a true Christ-like character. Genuine spirituality. And then the fifth characteristic in the portrait of fatherhood, a positive influence. In verse 12, he sums it up then and says, "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom." That you may walk in a manner that is worthy. He says in verse 11, "I want you to know that we dealt with you as fathers deal with children. We encouraged you, we comforted you, we urged you to live lives worthy of God, and we did that so that you could walk in a manner worthy of Him." A Christian dad encourages, comforts, urges his children to live lives worthy of God, and it's all done in a real, in a true positive way. Dan Benson, in his book, The Total Man, says that for every positive word most dads say to their children, they say 10 negative ones. Dads, granddads, did you hear that? For every positive word that most dads say to their children, they say 10 negative ones. There's a lot of don't, you can't, stop, no. And sometimes those are good. They set boundaries. I'm not saying don't say no. We got to have them. But more important than the negative words are the positive words. It doesn't come naturally for some of us. We need to work at it. Benson suggests that we could change the whole personality of our relationship with our children if we learn to be positive, influence things in a positive way. A portrait of fatherhood. It includes basically men being real, truly committed to Christ in a way that we can demonstrate that in our very lives and in a way that we can positively influence the children in our lives in a way that they too then will become genuine, honest people of integrity following Christ. I wonder how many of us could say today that that's the kind of life I live. That whether the kids at church are looking up to me or whether they're kids in my own living room looking up to me, I can live that kind of example. I wonder also if there is someone this morning that would say, you know what, that's not my daddy. I didn't have that kind of dad. I want to just say to you that if that is where you are this morning, then more than some of us, you can have a fuller understanding of the greatness of God who is that kind of father for you. You have a greater appreciation, perhaps, of the God that is willing to be that father in your life. And I want to encourage you to trust in the Father. And dads, I want to encourage you to accept the challenge to live up to Paul's portrait of fatherhood. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the privilege of coming to worship you. We thank you for the honor of influencing the generations behind us. Help us to accept the challenge. Male, female, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, whoever we are as adults today, help us that we would accept the challenge to live the lives that would encourage future generations to trust in you. Lord, we ask you that your Holy Spirit would move in us and speak to us at this moment and help us to make sure that we're right with you in every way that we can. In Jesus' name.